Good morning. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your love and blessings, and thank you for your care towards us. As we open thy word this morning, Lord, help us to look at the sevenfold dispensation of God. Father, what a wonderful book you have given to us in thy word. And as we study them, as we study that today, help us to look with much reverence at what you have for us this morning. Thank you once again. In Jesus Christ's precious name we ask. Amen. So this morning we will look at the sevenfold dispensation or patterns of God. Now, the sevenfold dispensation starts not just in the middle of the Bible, but it starts from the very first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we see the pattern, the sevenfold patterns of God. And it's very fascinating as we have the desire to look at and study the sevenfold patterns. What I like to do is start the study with the book of Genesis, go all the way to next to Revelation, and then come back to the book of Genesis. And along the way, we will look at a few verses. Now, the sevenfold dispensation of God, as we look, or the patterns, you know, when we look at a piece of art or something like that, you need to look at the whole piece of that, like a piece of cloth or something, to see the pattern that is there. And some patterns are different, but many patterns are there which are so beautiful. And as we look at the Word of God, we see that God has chosen a sevenfold pattern or sevenfold dispensation of God. Now, many headings are given, but this was I chose this from a heading that was already there, and I felt that will be appropriate for this. And what I'm going to look at today is actually the prophecy that God is giving us. Now, in Genesis, if you look at chapter 41, you don't need to turn there. In chapter 41, it talks about Joseph. Joseph was there in Egypt, and the king or the Pharaoh had a dream. And what did he dream of? Seven big fat cows. And he saw seven lean cows. Interesting. And then he saw the heads of corn, seven heads of corn, and in a series of seven. And we know that, we know the story, but we never think of it as a God's pattern of the sevenfold patterns of God. And then if you look at the first verse in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, that has a sevenfold pattern of God. And as I come back to the book of Genesis, I will see if I could look at that one verse and see the importance of the sevenfold dispensation or sevenfold patterns of God. Now, I'd like you to go ahead and turn to the book of Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, and we will stay there for a few minutes. And in the first verse, it reads the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by the angel unto his servant John. So what we see here is God reveals to Jesus Christ himself the revelation of Jesus. And the reason was so that he can give it to his servant John through the angel of the Lord. And then John will then give it to the seven churches. Look at verse number 4. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3 says, John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Now we see seven churches. But why seven? Why not eight? Why not nine? And why these particular seven churches? You see, we don't see the church of Jerusalem, the first church, or the church of Antioch, the second church, or a big church, the church at Rome. No, but God chose these seven churches. And then it says, which are in Asia. Now, when somebody talks about Asia, what's the first thing we think of? Oh, the land of India, or the land of Singapore, or land of China. No, that's not what this Asia is. This Asia that John is talking about here is a province of the old Roman Empire, and that is situated in a country, in a nation called Turkey. And these seven churches are right here. So the question is, why these seven churches? I'm sure there is an importance to that, and we will one day deal with that and see, because there is so much in this and the importance of the church. And we live in this church age. We live in the last two churches, which is the church at Philadelphia and the church at Laodicea, which is perfectly taught to us by our dear brother. And so when we go back to the verse here, we see in verse 4, Revelation 1, it says, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Again, seven spirits. Now, the emphasis is on the sevenfold patterns of God, or sevenfold dispensation of God. And here, John is giving us the greeting of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And he says, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, which could be and is the God the Father. And it could also be God the Son. Why? Look at it. And peace from him which is. Who is the which is of the God the Son? The glorified Christ, as we are seeing right now. Glorified Christ. That's what John saw. The glorified Christ. And which was. And that was the Christ who was born as a babe in Bethlehem many years ago. And which is to come, which is the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And from the seven spirits of God. And look at this. This seven spirits, it's not, we still have only one Holy Spirit, but look at the functions of this Holy Spirit. We see the Spirit of Yahweh, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of counsel, wisdom, understanding, strength, and the fear of the Lord. Those are the seven spirits which we find in Isaiah chapter 11 and in verse 2. Now, could God is following the pattern of this seven spirits? Maybe, maybe not, but it's not revealed to us. And so we will just get that as a possibility. So we see the seven churches, we see the seven spirits in just verse number 4. And then let's turn, go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 19. And God is telling John, Apostle John, it says, write the things which thou hast seen. What has John seen so far? John has just seen the glorified Christ. And he writes that in chapter 1, the glorified Christ. Secondly, he says, write the things which are. What are the things that are now? It is the church age. We are living in the church age at this time. And so he writes that in chapter 2 and chapter 3 of the book of Revelations. And then he says, write the things which shall be hereafter. And that is after the church. What will be hereafter? And so we will see that. I just want to show you the picture of the Holy Spirit, just another one here. And there's one more verse that I want to read here, which is verse number 20, Revelation chapter 1, verse number 20. It says, the mystery of the seven stars. What is the mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks? And Jesus himself explains that to John The seven stars are the seven angels, are the seven angels. And I'm pretty sure both at the same time, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So we see Jesus in the midst of those seven candlesticks. And what are we seeing here so far, what we have read? We see the seven spirits, we see the seven churches, and we see the seven stars. And as we continue further into the book of Revelations, we see judgment. And what do we see? We see the seven seal judgment, we see the seven bowl judgment, and we see the seven trumpet judgment. And so what we are seeing is the sevenfold pattern of God in his word. And as I told you, even from the very first verse, we see this sevenfold pattern of God. Very interesting that we see. Now, John was also told in verse number 19, the last part, write the things which shall be hereafter. The things which thou hast seen, and what he saw, John, was the glorified Christ up in heaven. And the things which are is the church age. And he wrote that in chapter 2 and chapter 3. And then he says, the write the things which are hereafter. What happened to the church? Let's look at verse in chapter 4, verse 1. And it says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet. Very interesting. The door in heaven. Look at the door. That is our door for us to enter. Believers, children of God. And it's open. And the voice of a trumpet. And do you see that? And what else? And the trumpet was talking to me. The voice of the trumpet was walking, talking to me, talking to John, and said, come up here. He's inviting John. He's inviting the church to come up hither. The door is open for us. And I will show you the things which must be hereafter, which means hereafter is after the church has left this earth, after the rapture. So we find that chapter 4 of the book of Revelation and chapter 5 of the book of Revelation, both of those gives the church in heaven. And starting from chapter 6 of the book of Revelation all the way to chapter 19, we see the hereafter. And what is the hereafter? The judgment. Okay? Seven seal judgments, seven bowl judgments, and seven trumpet judgments. And so we see the sevenfold pattern of God. Now, I need to also let you know the greatest prophecy that the world has ever known is in the book of Daniel. In fact, two of those. The prophecy, it is a prophecy. It is given by Daniel. And Daniel is a very prophetic book. And Daniel, as you all probably know already, that when Daniel was taken to Babylon, and that was because of the sin of the Jewish people. The army of Babylon, led by King Nebuchadnezzar, came in, and what did they do? They took the people of Jerusalem, the Jews, and took them to Babylon. And this was in 605 BC. And then what happened? Daniel was reading the Bible, which is he was reading Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10. And while he was reading, he realized, hey, Jeremiah has prophesied that the Jews will be released after the 70-year punishment in Babylon. And it was almost close to time for the release for them. And so let's turn to Daniel chapter 9 now. Daniel chapter 9. And we see that Daniel was praying unto the Lord. Daniel has always been a prayer warrior. He prayed three times a day without fail, turning his face towards Jerusalem, and he was praying. What is he praying for? He was praying for his sins, for repenting of his sins. And he was praying for the sins of the nation and the Jewish people of the Holy Jerusalem. And that's what he was praying. And while he was praying, what happened was God sent an angel by the name of Gabriel, sent an angel down to where Daniel was praying and touched him and said, God has a prophecy for you. And he started to speak to him. Let's go down to Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24. And this is what he said. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. 70 weeks, remember this number, 70 weeks. Again, the pattern of seven. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Who is this people? Is it us? No. He's talking to Daniel and Daniel's people. And who are those? The Jewish people. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city. And which is the holy city that he's talking about? Jerusalem, of course. He's talking about Jerusalem. So there is a prophecy about the Jewish people and the holy city. Now, I will go to the next verse. Of course, the rest of those are important. But let's go to Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. And this is, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment or the decree to restore and to build Jerusalem. Let me stop there. So the angel is telling Daniel, from the time the decree goes out, what is the decree? The commandment goes out for what? Let's look at the last part of the verse. This is in King James version of my Bible. The last part says to build Jerusalem, and the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. So this is one prophecy. That is to build Jerusalem. You know, Nebuchadnezzar and his army just desolated the place of Judea and Jerusalem in 605. He took the people of Israel or Jerusalem in three phases, 605, 597, and 586, and total destruction and also total destruction of the temple. And that's what he did. And so now the angel is telling God's word to Daniel, and he's saying, know therefore and understand. What do we need to do to understand? We need to ask the Lord. If we have a portion of the Bible that we cannot understand, what do we do? I know we have so many books and everything these days to review and study, but the one person that we can ask is our Lord God. We need to pray to our Lord for understanding. And the angel is telling him, know therefore and understand, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem. Okay, that is the first part. Let us look at the first part. Now, who could have given that decree or the commandment? So look at the decree here. Let me see here. The Bible presents four decrees or four commands from the king. And if you look at number one, it's King Cyrus, King Darius, King Artaxerxes. And in fact, Artaxerxes gave two decrees. So we need to see which of this decree shall we go to and take the date from. So we find that all of these first three are given in the book of Ezra. It's given in the book of Ezra. It's there. We all can read that. And the fourth one is given in Nehemiah. So let's look at the first decree. The first decree by Cyrus says, Cyrus made a decree giving Ezra and the Babylonian captives the right to return to Jerusalem for what? Read the rest, to rebuild the temple. That was the decree that Cyrus gives, rebuild the temple. Look at the second decree by Darius to giving Ezra the right to rebuild the temple. The second decree is also to go and rebuild the temple. What about the third decree by Artaxerxes? It says, again, the second line, to rebuild the temple. What is the prophecy? Is the prophecy given to date that decree to rebuild the temple? No, it was to go and build the cities of Jerusalem, the walls of Jerusalem. That was the decree. Let's look at the last one. Artaxerxes, the fourth one, made a decree giving Nehemiah permission, safe passage, and supplies to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the city and the walls in 445 BC. And we can read that great portion, Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. And I will just mention shortly what happened was Jeremiah was so sad. He was the cupbearer for King Artaxerxes. And the cupbearer is the most important person and most trusted person in the kingdom. Why? Because it is this cupbearer that sends the drinks to the king. You see, if it's not a trustworthy person, they could poison him. Is he so? Nehemiah was the most trusted person. So one day when he comes up to the king, he was really sad. And the Bible says his countenance was very poor. And so the king was concerned about Nehemiah and asked him, Nehemiah, what's wrong with you? You look so sad. You are never normally like this, and you're so sad. And he tells the king, King, you do not realize this. Look at my land. It is desolate. It is gone. The temple is gone. My cities are gone. Houses are burned. Nehemiah had a soft corner. Naturally, it was God that put it into the heart of Artaxerxes. And what did he say? He gave him permission, passage, supplies to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the city of Jerusalem and the walls of Jerusalem. Now, this is the date that we have to take into consideration. This is 445 BC. Let me go back to that verse. 70 weeks are determined. And then the first part of the prophecy in verse number 25 is to go back and build Jerusalem, the city streets, the walls, the trenches, and everything. Okay, that is the first. Look at the second. The second is unto the Messiah, the Prince. That is the appearance of the Messiah. Who is our Messiah? Jesus Christ. The appearance of Jesus Christ, and that is his appearance, his introduction, coming into this earth, this world. And that's the second one. And it says the period of time will be 7 weeks and 72 weeks. 7 weeks, remember this number. The first number we remembered was 70 weeks. Now we have got off the 70 weeks. Let me just got a little graph here. 70 weeks, off the 70 weeks, 7 weeks. The first 7 weeks is for them to rebuild the temple and the cities and the trenches and all of those and the walls. 7 weeks. But I also need to mention these weeks in the Hebrew language are also considered not just weeks of days, but also weeks of years. So when we consider 70 weeks, we can consider 70 times 7, which is 490 years, which is the total period of time. Of the 490 years, 7 weeks, which is 49 years, 7 times 7, 49 years goes to rebuilding the city and the walls. And then he says of the 62 weeks. And let's go back to the verse. Okay, verse number 25, it says, the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. 62 weeks will be 62. 1 score is 20, 60, and 2 will be 62 weeks. So add together 62 plus 7, we give 69 weeks. What was the prophecy? The prophecy was 70 weeks. What happened in the last week? We have to search for it, right? We have to look for that. Let's look at the next verse. We looked at 65, and in verse 26, we find that after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. What do we mean by that? Cut off. That means he'll be killed. Messiah will be killed. And this prophecy, Daniel is writing about 300-400 years before the appearance of Jesus Christ on this earth. 300-400 years. And from Bible scholars, it says it happened to the exact day, this prophecy. And after 62 weeks, which is the first 7 weeks, and then 62 weeks together, at 69 weeks, at the end of 69 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off. Look at the next 4 words. That's in my King James verse. But not for himself. Actually, this last song we sang had this in that verse. But not for himself. What does that mean? That means he was not killed. But he was not killed because of himself. So why was he killed? Because of you, because of for our sins. Jesus was killed because of us. And so I didn't mention something about the previous verse that we had seen about for his entry, his appearance on this earth. Let me just go back to that verse again. And that gives us here, the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 3 weeks. And the date from the decree of Artaxerxes, which was in 445 BC, and the appearance of Jesus Christ is the day that he entered the triumphant entry on that colt, on that donkey, into the city of Jerusalem. And they say the calculation is to the day, and entered the city, and that's what we see. And let us go back. So after 62 weeks, which is the total of 39 weeks, Messiah will be cut off, not for himself. Okay, so we have seen it. We know that it happened because we can go back 2020, hindsight. We know the dates. We know what happened to Jesus. But look at the next verse. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. What the prophecy is, the third prophecy is that this city of Jerusalem and the temple will be destroyed again. And Jesus died in AD 32, first century, AD 32. I'll show you the dates later. All right, when Jesus died 38 years after that, we see the people of the prince. Who are the people that was ruling Jerusalem, Judea at the time of Jesus? It was the old Roman Empire, Caesar and their group. They were the one that was ruling Jerusalem, and we see that. And then what happens? 38 years later, Titus, the commander of the Roman army, comes in with his men and destroys everything about Jerusalem again. Jerusalem and also the temple. And so that has already happened. And that happened in 70 AD. Look at the next verse. Verse number 29. And it says, and he shall confirm. Who is this he? Who is this he? He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. You know, the week that we were looking for is here. He shall confirm. Who is this he? The same group that did in 70 AD. This is the man, the leader from the revived Roman Empire, which has not happened as yet, which is still yet to happen. Okay? And so the he is the Antichrist. The he is the man of sin. The he is the murderer. And he, the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, which means that he's going to make a deal with Israel for 1 week. Now we know in the Hebrew, the week word goes for 7 years. So it's a 7 year peace treaty that the Antichrist will make with Israel. What's happening to Israel right now? They're at war. They've always been at war. And when they say that there is someone coming in to make a peace treaty, and they will be excited. They were happy because of the peace treaty. And 1 week peace treaty, which is a 7 year peace treaty. But look at the next line. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, which means the Jews were allowed to use their temple to sacrifice to the Lord. But in the middle of the week, which is 3.5 years, after 7 years, after that, he will demand, this he, which is the Antichrist, say, you have to stop all sacrifices now. And the abomination of desolation happens, which means that he will tell the people, no more sacrifices, and he will put in an idol of the beast of Satan in that temple. In that temple. And remember, Jesus mentioned in Matthew chapter 24, I think it is, that he said, when you see the abomination of desolation, he tells the Jews, tells the people, flee out of Jerusalem. Because what is going to happen is the start of the great tribulation that Jesus talked about. And Jesus knew that when this happened, it is also telling the people that he is going to come back now. His second coming. And so that's what we see here. So we find the fourth prophecy. So we have, in this period of time, we have the first 70 weeks that was given or determined to the Jewish people. The first 7 weeks is to build the temple, not the temple. The first 7 weeks is to build Jerusalem, the city walls, the trenches, and everything within Jerusalem. And the next is 7 weeks plus 62 weeks, which is 69 weeks times seven, is the time when Jesus comes into and makes his triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem. He comes on the colt and he enters Jerusalem. What does the people of Jerusalem do? They will put down palm leaves and clothes and everything on the ground and welcome him as the king. But what happens 2-3 days later? He's on the cross because these same Jews and many others cried out, crucify him, crucify him. And not for himself, but because of us. And then we see, of course, in 70 AD, the destruction of the city of Jerusalem and also the temple. And then that has all happened already. Now we have got the 1 week left. 1 week left, that is for the tribulation. That won't happen till the church is taken up. We won't be here. We won't be here. And Jesus will take us home. And then the last week will happen. Now, this part of the prophecy also talks about the sevenfold dispensation of sevenfold pattern of God, because it talks about the 70-year punishment for the Jewish people, multiples of seven. It talks about the 70 weeks, 7 years, and then 69 years, and then the last 7 years, which is yet to happen. And so we see Jesus preserving this for us and teaching us. Now, these are the dates that I have taken, which is Bible scholars say March 14th, 445 BC, according to Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1 to 8, is the day the decree was given. And the calculation goes that Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem was April the 6th, AD 32. You know, I Googled because I saw this date. And then when I Googled this date, they say that it was the day Jesus was born. Take it with a grain of salt on this day. But according to the calculation, this is the day that Jesus was his triumphant entry. Now, I just want to also say, so these are the prophetic pattern of God that we see in Daniel, and also we see in the church age. We are at the last church age dispensation. We are ready to leave. We are the Church of Philadelphia. I'm so convinced, because the reason I'm convinced is because it says the door is open. Jesus has kept the door open for us to go in first for the rapture. But if you read the Laodicean church, there's a problem there. The door is closed. Jesus didn't close that door. The people closed that door. And Jesus knocking at the door saying, I knock, and if you do open, I will come in and sign you. So I believe we are the Church of Philadelphia, and the Church of Philadelphia is certainly going to be in France. Now, something else. Coming back to the sevenfold pattern of God, there's a verse which is very interesting. In chapter 2, Second Peter chapter 3, verse 8, we all know this. We have read it, and it says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. Very interesting. It's just not this verse. There are two other areas that gives us the same verse. And then when I looked at it, can we divide the seven, this 7,000-year period into these 1,000-year days? I think we can. And this is what it is. We can divide the Bible week into sevens. Day one, 1,000 years from Adam to Enoch. Day two, 1,000 years from Enoch to the floods. To Noah. And day three, 1,000 years from patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and that period goes till the time of the judges. Remember what the Jewish people said about the judges? They cried unto the Lord and said, Lord, we don't want these judges. We want kings to rule us. Just like the other nations, neighboring nations have kings. We want kings. God was their king, but they didn't want that. And what did God do? God gave it to them. So who is our first king? Saul. Second king? David. And then we come into day four, which is the 4,000 year. Day four, we start with the kingdom of Israel. When we look at the kingdom of Israel, the David's rule started 1,000 years before the return of Christ. And so the kingdom of Christ, and towards the end, not kingdom of Israel, sorry, and towards the end of that period, we find Jesus was born, okay? And then after Jesus' death, resurrection, he lived on this earth for 40 years in his glorified body, telling us that he was ready to ascend to God the Father. on the 40th day he ascended into heaven. Now he's seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. He's there interceding for our sins, taking care of us for all the naughty things we do today in this world. And what did he tell the disciples to do before he left? He said, don't leave. Wait for the Holy Spirit. Wait. And so they waited. They obeyed Jesus. They waited. And what happened? 10 days after that, on the day of Pentecost, as we see in Acts chapter 2, we find the Holy Spirit comes. And they received the Holy Spirit. And that's the day the church started. And that church is still going on 2,000 years. Yeah. We are at the end of the sixth day. Seventh day is a day of rest, right? And we find that Jesus is coming anytime for us. So what we need to do is prepare for his coming and prepare for our going. Be packed, be ready. But something else before I close. Day one, Adam to Enoch. You know the seven generations there? It's very easy, and a lot of us skip this chapter. It's in Genesis chapter 5. You don't have to turn, I'll read it. Because I know some have told me, oh, it's too much all about the older men, and they lived 900 years, 800 years, and all of those. But it gives us a very important information. After Adam, his son was Seth, his son was Enos, his son was Canaan, his son was Mahalalel, and his son was Jared, and his son, Jared's son, was Enoch. What happened? Okay, Adam, their children, finally Enoch. What happened? Rapture. Right? Enoch, rapture. God told him, Enoch, it's time, enough time for you living there. Come up and sup with me. Then we see day two, from Enoch to Noah. What happened? Judgment. What's happening now? What are we waiting for? The rapture. All of us, we are all waiting and praying for the Lord to come. And once we are raptured, what's next? Judgment. When we look at the sevenfold, I still have a little bit more time. And when we look at the sevenfold pattern of God, I want to also look another part in the book of Genesis, which is Noah. You know how he took his animals into the ark, Noah? How many animals, how many clean animals did Noah take into the ark? Seven. He took seven. And then how many birds or the fowls, how many of them did he take? Seven. Do we see the pattern that God is doing? God told Noah, get into the ark. So Noah brought his family in. His wife, his three kids, and the kids' wives. How many of them? Seven. See the pattern, what God is at? And God closed the door of the ark. How many days after he closed the door did the rain start? Seven. Why? God has this pattern, a marvelous pattern. And then as we see, the ark rest. And what does he do? First, he sends the raven that doesn't come back. Then he sends the dove, and that came back because he couldn't put his feet on the ground. He came back. And how many days after he sent it the second time? Seven. That's what fascinates me about the sevenfold dispensation of God, or the sevenfold pattern of God. Before I close, let me also mention a few others. The seven churches. It does have relations to also the seven epistles. How many in the first church, how many deacons were there? Seven. Seven. This is the marvelous pattern of God. Marvelous pattern of what Jesus is doing on this earth. Oh, I didn't do the last part because I showed you the rapture. That's what we're waiting for. And the question is, but why did God take 7 days to create things? He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's everything. He could do it in one day. But there's a reason why he took 7 days. I don't know the reason, but there is a reason. Could it be this, the seven spirits of God? I told you, chapter 1 of Genesis, verse 1. I'm going to read Hebrew. I don't know a word in Hebrew. This is what's written. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Those that know Hebrew can. I wrote that in English, and it says, Bereshit Elohim bara aharet vehet hashemayim. Seven words. Seven words. And God started this sevenfold pattern from the very first verse in the very first chapter of the book. And we see that all through till the end of the book of Genesis. What a marvelous part. He's telling us something to be interested and look at it and study it. So I will close with this, encouraging us to be prepared. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, God says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. We can trust our God for everything we want. But what happens is sometimes we say, oh, it's taking too long a time, taking too long a time. We need to trust our Lord. We need to identify with Christ ourselves, submit ourselves to God, and also pray and spend time with God. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us his plan for us, and he will. He will give us an answer. And, of course, protect ourselves from the words of others, because they may not like our belief, our faith, but our faith is the one that lasts. Okay? Let us close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the words that you've given to us, teaching us about the sevenfold pattern of God. You have been marvelous, O Savior. You died for us. You came here. You rode into the city of Jerusalem as a king, but they killed you. Not for yourself, not because yourself, but because of us. Father, thank you for that, because today, because of that, we have life, and we thank you. We praise you. Father, we pray that you would be with us the rest of the morning, and also for our next session. We pray that you would bless the speaker. Bless all those that are here. In Jesus Christ's precious name, we ask. Amen.